On this cassette recording will be some notes, some observations, a very interesting visit with, indeed, a pioneer family in Washington County, Felix McCullough. And I thought it'd be interesting. I've known Felix for low many years, our fine neighbors, when we lived up in the valley down at the bottom, I guess you'd say. And so it's nice to come up and visit with Felix McCullough, by golly, on the upper end of Scoggin Valley. Well, Felix, I do appreciate you taking time to visit with me a little bit about your family, the McCullough family. I think it's certainly a true statement, folks. The McCullough family are indeed a pioneer family of Washington County, if there ever was one, that's for sure. By golly, they have been in this Washington County for a low many years. In fact, we're going to find out just how long they've been in the county and visit with Felix. Felix, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning.
Felix, I want to know a little bit about the McCullough family. Now, so if you will, Felix, McCullough, spelled M-C, capital C, etc. Do I detect a little Scotch in that name, Felix?
No. The name McCullough, O-U-G-H, is Irish.
That's
my father said it's Irish.
It's an Irish name.
Yeah.
All right. All right, now, let's go back, Felix. No doubt, Dad, and I knew the fine old gentleman, and your mother, too. Just a wonderful pair of people. Your dad lived, as I recall, to be the piping old age of 105, as I recall.
No, 4 months past 100.
Oh, 4 months. All right, let's back we'll back it back 2 months then. And Mom, bless her heart, I can still see her just the same as yesterday. How long did your mother live?
She lived 8 months past 94, and she was on her feet until her last day.
My gosh. They were a wonderful pair of people. And I've always glad we knew them, and I say we, my wife Ruth, and our children, to know Dad and Mom McCullough. All right, let's take it from the top, Felix. No doubt Dad and Mom reviewed with you kids. Speaking of kids, how many kids are there in the McCullough family? Yourself?
Three are left. My brother died in 53, rather.
And his name was?
Frank.
Frank McCullough.
And Ruth Kyle died in April 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Elsie Perkins, the oldest member of the family, died in March 81.
So in the total, there were
six.
All right, boys and girls. Let's get them.
Yeah.
How many? Let's see, you had?
I had one brother.
Mm-hmm.
And four sisters.
I see. Now, you've accounted for all of them there, haven't you?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Now, going back to when the McCulloughs, imagine Dad and Mom told you when they came to America. Can we pick it up there, Felix?
My mother was born in Missouri, 1866, January 14th, 1866. And my father was born in Ireland, December 25th, 1862. And he came to the United States in 1883 on board the Servia, that was a Cunard liner. He was 20 years old, had taught school a short time in Ireland before leaving there. Well, now.
All right. He had taught school. Now, could I presume he spoke Gaelic, possibly, in Ireland?
He could speak a little Gaelic that he had learned from his mother.
I see.
But now his mother, the British had taken over Ireland before his mother started to school even. So it was all English in her day.
I see. Well, now, was that a steamship, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cunard liner, yeah.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
He came to America August the 19th, 1883.
Well, now, had he learned a trade in Ireland, or what was the situation there? You know, what was his line of work?
Well, no, he didn't have any line of work in particular. We'll say he was laborer.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he kind of have a job in mind when he came to America? I know the Irish were helped with the railroads. They did an awful big part of building our country back in those early days.
Yeah. Excuse me. He had two brothers older than himself in Kentucky, and they were carriage makers. They made nice carriages, you know, buggies and things like that. But he was not a mechanic. He didn't go in for that at all. But he wanted to see the country. So he went out to Kansas and took up a homestead. And it was there he and my mother met, and they were married in March the 4th, 1889.
You know, the thing that comes through, excuse me, Felix, in 1889, I believe, is where you left off there.
Yes.
You know, Felix, what occurs to me is the spirit, the drive, the pioneer spirit that these people had. I don't know why it came through to me, but you've got to admit they really had it, didn't they, Felix? In other words, it took a lot of, well, would you say nerve, Felix, or, a real drive?
It was a gambling chance with most of those people. They thought it would be a new deal for their future and their family.
Well, now, homesteading. Let's get to that homestead. Now, was that a land grant situation?
No. No, it was 160 acres under the homestead law. The homestead law was changed from the grand land in 1860, I believe is correct.
That would be prior to the Civil War.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So this was, how big a farm did he have, Felix?
160 acres.
You said that a while ago, excuse me.
I think that's right.
Yeah, dry land farming all the way.
Yeah. Buffalo grass.
And I suppose, like so many of them, of course, they started out on the raw land. They had to build a house. You know, Felix, your hair may get gray, but that smile hasn't changed a darn bit since I knew you years ago. Now, he built a house, I suppose, for his blushing bride, and away we go.
Well, some of those people built a sod house. Whether he had one, I don't know a thing about that. I don't remember what he said about the sod house, but there were some sod houses in that country.
All right, let's move you west. Now, you're back there, your dad was back there, and he came west. And when did that happen, Felix?
That was in 1899.
Now, did they take a train, or was...
Oh, yeah, they took the train out to Seattle. They came to Seattle, and my father worked at Lake Washington at the pumping station. They pumped the city water out of Lake Washington at that time. He had a job wheeling coal to the boilers at the station. And we lived there. We came out to Seattle then. That was a boom town at that time. And we came there in August 1889. And went hop picking from there. My dad said he had $20 in his pocket when he started for the hop yard, and he just had $20 in his pocket when he came back.
Now, you're using the pronoun we.
Yeah.
There were some of you youngsters in the world by this time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had I had two sisters. By the way, I had three sisters. And my brother wasn't born until December 1st, 1900.
Mm-hmm. You know, a question, Felix. Now, in your sisters and brothers, where are you in terms of the age, Felix?
Well, I'm the third one, Elsie Perkins, Ruth Kyle, and Felix. Then Avril McCullough, my younger sister, was born in Seattle, February 4th, 1899. Now, the younger one of the family, Frank, my brother Frank, was born, well, I said already.
All right.
How am I doing here? I'm getting
you're doing just a great here, my friend. Felix.
I don't want to have to back up.
All right, you're doing real wonderful. Now, all right, we're in Seattle. And how long did the Felix the McCullough family, excuse me, Felix, how long did the McCullough family stay in Seattle before you came up to Oregon?
No, well.
Or come down to Oregon. I'm getting my map screwed up here.
We went to Yakima in August 1889. Then, you know, we went hop picking.
Yeah.
Then the folks went out on a ranch. You know, my dad has a hired man on this farm out in Sela Valley.
That's and near what bigger place?
Well, no, that's one of the, now I guess it would be suburb of Yakima.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were out there, I believe, 9 months on that farm. Then they bought a place in Yakima within the city limits. It was less than 2 acres, and we lived there until 1909. Then we came to White Salmon, Washington, and we lived there 2.5 years. In the fall of 1911, we moved to Vancouver, and my father worked at the construction work on the city streets. That was, then he was looking for a place to trade the Yakima property in on a farm. And in January 26th, he had bought this farm in Scoggin Valley, and we came here January 26th, 1912. Now I'm getting that a little bit. You know,
yeah.
I backtracked a little on that.
All right. In 1912, you came to the upper end of Scoggin Valley.
That's right.
May I ask how big a place your folks bought up here, Felix?
40 acres.
40 acres. Mm-hmm. And, all right, let's get into the economy of this situation a little bit, how you made a living and this sort of thing. Did you log or do some farming? I know you have a little cleared land down below here on the, you know, by the creek up here.
Well, my father worked for wages. He worked in Forest Grove on several building constructions. The Nixon building in Forest Grove, he worked a short time on that.
What year would that have been, would you think?
That was the summer of 1912.
I see. That building still stands to this day in Hillsboro.
I believe young Nixon is still a dentist up there. I think so.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. All right. In other words, you lived up in the valley. Now, you say he worked down in Hillsboro. Now, getting from Upper Scoggin Valley down there, or did you live in Hillsboro?
No, we never lived in Hillsboro at all.
I see.
Didn't work in Hillsboro even, no.
Well,
Forest Grove.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to put you in Hillsboro.
No,
yeah,
no,
Nixon.
No.
Sure, he is well, our dentist in Forest Grove. I've had pleasure working with him a number of years back. Fine fellow. All right, now, Getting from the ranch up here in the valley down to Forest Grove was quite a project back in those days, Felix.
Well, quite a few people walked long distances those days. I've known my dad to walk to Forest Grove to work in the summer and walk home again, you know, Sunday evening.
Well, did he stay in town, did he, for a few
days?
Oh,
yes, he had to stay in town.
So Mom and the kids were up here.
That's right.
I see. Of course, now, back then, you kept a cow and some chickens, and you were pretty self-sustaining, weren't you, up here?
Everybody had a cow those days.
And chickens? And.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, now, of course, I suppose down through the years, your dad kind of learned how to be a logger along with you boys, didn't he?
No, he never went in for that at all. He cut wood by hand. Everybody cut wood by hand those days.
Yeah. But I think you told me one time, Felix, he'd cut wood and then he'd haul it down the valley.
Yeah, that's right. I hauled wood to Forest Grove, one cart of wood. And more than once, I was more than 4 hours on the trip down there. 4 hours one way.
And there was no gravel road. It was.
Yeah, yes.
Was there?
Yeah, the road was graveled from the foot of this hill, you know, into Forest Grove, into the main roads.
And just as a point of interest, what was wood bringing back in those days, Felix? How much did it cost? How much is the people paying for it?
The first wood he hauled to Gaston was $3.50 per cord. Then later, in 1916, we got $4 per cord.
Things kind of went up a little bit.
Yeah, a little. He's right.
Another one of those Phoenix smiles there, folks. Oh, boy. Well, of course, I suppose, just jumping back a little bit, I imagine your dad picked up his English pretty fast when he came into New York on the liner. And so there was never Gaelic or any foreign language spoken in your home at any time, was there, Felix?
No. No, all the Gaelic he knew, you know, would be just a few words. Mm-hmm. Just a few words that he had learned from his mother.
Mm-hmm. All right. Felix, you've seen a lot of changes. Of course, there's still patches of timber up in Scoggin Valley, but certainly the scene isn't anything like it was when the McCullough family moved up in the valley, that's for sure.
Well, the changes have come along so slow over so many years that I've forgotten some of the things that were different those days, see?
All right, just as a point of interest, of course, you were here back in World War I, 1914, 15? They started that mess over there?
14, yeah.
14, yeah. Did any of you boys serve in the services by any chance?
No.
I was just kind
of. I got caught by the by the draft. You had to be 21 those days to be drafted.
Oh, I see.
And I was to go to Fort Lewis in October 1918. But they got the flu so bad there that they canceled all the draftees coming into Fort Lewis. But those who were listed for Seattle camp, San Francisco. Oh, wait a minute.
All right. Okay.
Hold it a minute.
Yeah, all right. You were mentioning
The California camps.
Oh,
they went. I know several fellows from here in the same draft that I was. They went to California. But mine was labeled for Fort Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And the flu was so bad, they canceled all those draftees coming in.
Gosh, that flu, that was something else again, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
They just lost people, oh my goodness.
Right and left.
Right and left, yeah. All right, fine. Well, now we've taken you, your father. By the way, did we get the name of your father way back in front into this tape? I don't know. We kept mentioning your name, your father, you know.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. His name was Michael. Had no middle name. Michael McCullough. You got the date of his birth, 1862, December 25th, 1862.
I see. You know, kind of the point of interest, Felix, back in those days when your dad came up the valley, what were land values back in those days?
Oh, golly. Lots of rough land like this around here was $10 an acre. Yeah, there's 40 acres land just northwest of here. Well, even later, way back in the 20s, you could have bought that for $10 per acre. There wasn't anything on it but a little old-growth timber, you know, good for wood.
Yeah, land values have changed. Well, all right. Well, we probably have missed something along the way here, Felix, but let's move on to something else that... I believe the folks at the Washington County Museum came out, I believe it was 78, in the book here, to interview you. And you mentioned that you had gone to school up here at a school called Deerlick School. Is that right?
Yeah, we named that. You know, us kids named it Deerlick School, and our parents... They didn't take any interest, so they called it the same thing. The kids wanted it named Deerlick School. There's nothing to it but ballyhoo.
You have any idea, Felix, how in the world you kids came up with the name Deerlick? I'd be curious.
Yeah, that's right.
How'd you come up with that name? Oh, did you see a deer out there licking some salt or something?
That's just about it. Me and another kid were out with our 22s hunting, and there was a spring coming out of a kind of clay bank and deer tracks all around in that wet ground, you know.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, the deer have been licking for salt.
Hey, sis, you over on the Davenport over there, you said something a moment ago. Oh, hey, your sis says your dad formed the school, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
And Mrs. Kiles, Ruth Kiles.
She was the first teacher in 1913. In the fall of 1913, we had a short term of school. What date it was? Maybe it was November before the school got going.
I see. The kids had to stay home and help on the farm, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if we were any help or not, but we were on the farm.
You know, I have seen copies of the little school we had down below here, Forest Dale, some early records of the forest.
District number 16.
District number 16.
You were 109.
Oh, you were 109. Deerlick was 109. Oh, I see it. Well, Mrs. Kyle, or sis in the background, has said that the people in the valley did not want it incorporated because it would raise the taxes. Now, you're speaking of Deerlick School up here. Yeah. Oh, I see. It would have gone up here instead of going down below. All right, now, so there was a little bit of seesaw back and forth, I think is what you're telling me there.
About that, I want to say something about that. This was a pretty wealthy district. The timber back in the west side of this district amounted to quite a bit in taxes. And there really was no friction. Those two districts, the Kyle School, or was it the Williams School? Anyway, they were glad to give it up. They didn't resent it one bit. And Forestdale School, 16, they gave up their part of it to form this district, 109. I don't think there was any grumbling at all.
Oh, I see. I'm glad you cleared up that. You mentioned Kyles and Williams. Now,
yeah.
Those are two names I've never heard up here.
Oh, is that so? That's a sort of Spring Grove.
Would you explain those a little bit, those two names and schools?
Well, just when that school started, I don't know. But the Soda Springs Road had a school years before that, according to what Bill Williams had told me. When the Kyle School began, let's say about 1902, maybe. That would be something like it.
Well, where geographically would it have been located?
Well, it was on the Kyle Place, up on the upper end of the Soda Springs Road.
Pardon me, ma'am?
Peavine Ridge.
That's where the Kyle School. Now, the Williams School, let's see. We can get that on the map.
Well, no. That was the same school.
Oh, I
Kyle
see.
And William.
Oh, it was a combination there.
Yeah, that's right.
A little one-room schoolhouse,
that's
I presume.
Right, that's right.
Was it a log building?
No.
It was a frame building. Sis says that there were two students in the school. One was a retarded boy, and the other. Now, the name Williams, Felix, that rings a bell with me down the valley. Is that some relatives of the Williams down there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I know some Williams, you know, that live down below us here, you know, in the valley. Okay. And now, getting back to the Deer Lick School, where did I hear, or somebody said, told me, that was a log school, was it?
No.
Never was, huh?
Oh, no.
It was a frame building.
That's
all right.
House building.
I don't know where I got it, but I...
Our dad, the man named Bill Lummy, built that.
All right. Dad McCullough, Felix's father, built that school, Sis says, along with who was it?
That schoolhouse was built in 1914 by William Lunny. He was a resident of Scoggin Valley. He lived up on the Tanner Creek Road. And he was a carpenter, a good carpenter. And he built that school in 1914. Well,
along with your dad's help.
Well, yeah, Dad helped him, but Mr. Lunny could do the whole thing himself almost without any help. He was a good man, good carpenter.
Oh, your dad worked for this gentleman.
Yeah, he helped
this carpenter.
Yeah, he helped him. Yeah, he was his.
How big was that schoolhouse, by the way?
It was, I think 26 by 30, I believe.
Just for the sake of the record, folks. Yeah, and of course that thing has been gone. Oh my gosh, low many years.
No, the building was sold to Roscoe Madison, that is, it's still standing in Cornelius. Roscoe Madison, he had Pete Madison was Roscoe's uncle. See, you remember the name Marshall Madison?
Oh, yes, you
was,
bet.
This Roscoe's father, and he removed this building and rebuilt it in Cornelius, almost opposite, what is that little church? Just north of the highway there in Cornelius, a little church along the road. Well, he's across the street from that, this house.
And that is the original Deer Lick School building?
That's right, yep.
And
in 44, they were living there at that time because I was at the house one time.
So they loaded the school. Well, we were on, we flipped the tape over here to side two. I want to stay on this school thing just for another few moments, if I may, Felix.
Go out of it.
All right. Now, of course, up at the Deer Lake School, what was the practice back? How many grades were taught back in those days?
Oh, there were.
One through?
From one through eight. I finished the eighth grade at this school in 1915. Yeah, you know, as far as I can remember, they started with one and went right on up to the eighth grade.
How many schoolmates did you have up there? Do you remember? Just a ballpark figure, possibly.
At one time, let me see, Wilbur kids. One, two,
who they are.
Three, yeah, one, two, three, and there were three other kids living there. That was six, and me and Avril and Frank, we were... Three more, that was nine. Yeah. Well, I'll say nine. That we'll have to finish with that.
All right, fine and dandy. Of course, school, you know, I want to talk just a moment with you, Felix, about school. As you know, schools have been in the news here of late. Concerning how poor they are and how this and that and the other thing. The school teachers... are being raked over the coals and a few other things. Now, of course, back in those days, it was just basically the reading, writing, and arithmetic, four R's, right? That what you...
Yeah, that that was more than I went in for, even.
I'm gonna embarrass you, Felix. Were you a good student?
No, I wasn't.
That's not fair, is it, Felix? That's not fair to ask you that.
I had the bad habit of looking out of the window.
There wasn't any pigtails in front of you, the front desk, was there, in front of you?
I was a daydreamer.
All right, Felix. My apologies for putting you on the spot there. I didn't mean to. Okay. Well, Felix, you've seen a lot of history, by golly, and you're... You know, would it embarrass you if I asked you how old you are?
No, it wouldn't. I was 86 yesterday, June 21st.
1983. Right? You were 86.
Yeah, that's right. 86, June 21st, 1883.
All right. We're getting the record up to date here. Now. We're going too fast, aren't we, Felix? All right. Felix, with your experience and one thing and another, would you comment, if you would, Felix, on where you figure the problem might be in this school thing? After all, you've seen a lot of... Or where do you think we're missing the boat, so to speak, on schools, or if we are? Now, yeah. I say if we are.
Gosh. That seems to me that's out of my reach altogether.
All right, yeah. Felix. We won't pursue that anymore, that's for sure. Okay. When the fellow came out from the museum to interview you here, I believe it was in 78, did you mention some of the old pioneers that lived up here in the valley, some names?
I think so. I think you'll find it.
Yeah, it's in here. All right. We won't cover that then. Well, now, did you go on down to high school by any chance, Felix?
No.
No. Forest Grove.
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. Your sister said a while ago that there were two of your sisters taught up here in this school, Deer Lake, then, wasn't there? Or was there?
No. Oh. Two of my sisters taught over at the Williams Kyle School.
Oh, I see.
Two of your sisters taught here. I taught here, too,
Oh, excuse me. She's right. I forgot all about her teaching here.
You're going to get in trouble. You know that.
Yes,
with sis here.
I'll get in trouble now.
Why don't you come over here, sis? I want to talk to you a little bit. Bless your heart. We got to get Felix out of this jackpot that he's in here. You know that, Felix.
Remember, before you leave, I want you to see those.
Oh, you bet, Felix. All right. Come on over, if you would, and I'd like to visit with you a little bit here. Well, this is one of the Kyle's children. Can you come over a little closer, dear?
Oh, there we are. Okay.
My name was Grace McCullough. I was Felix's sister.
All right. I think you were off mic there. Now, tell me who you are.
I'm Grace McCullough Moser, and I'm Felix McCullough's sister, his younger sister. And I went to school, to derelict school, to our sister Ruth taught the school. And then later on, I went all eighth grade there. And then I graduated from Forest Grove High School. I came back and taught. I taught 1924 and 25, and then I taught in 1926 and 27, 2 years.
I see. So you've been a teaching game quite a while.
And our other sister, Elsie McCullough, and Ruth taught at this Williams School. They each taught school over there. Mm-hmm. Elsie was the one that taught the... She had one boy named Bill Williams and the retarded boy.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier in the game here. All right. Well, no, by golly, education has been quite an important factor.
Well, our father and our mother each taught school back in the early days. Our dad taught a couple of years in Ireland, and our mother taught in Kansas. So we come from a long line of school teachers.
Well, yeah.
She taught in Pawnee County in Kansas. Pawnee County, Kansas, and our dad, he was from Tyrone County, Ireland. That's where he taught.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what? Well, let's tie down their education. How many years education did your dad...
In those days, you didn't have to have a college degree to teach school. They taught... our mother said she boarded around. They lived with the different members of the school. You know, and she taught. She had just had an eighth grade education, and he had a year of college, I think, but that was all.
I see. Well, we certainly have established one thing, that education has been a very important part of the McCulloughs going away back to Ireland, by
God. That's right.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I kind of put Felix on the spot there a little moment ago, talking about this present-day education problems. Maybe I better not put you on the spot either about it.
Right. It's quite a deal now that Reagan's interested in education, you know. Maybe we'll get some really good schools.
Well, all right, we'll just leave her right there and not say any more about that. You will confirm, as same as Felix has, that reading, writing, and arithmetic was about the situation. Did they throw in some geography for good measure?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We had agriculture, and we had some science, and physiology was an important subject. They call it health ed nowadays, but we called it physiology. That was important, and we had quite a bit of agriculture, that was something fairly new at that time, you know.
Well, of course, that would be...
Soil conservation and farming, you know. And
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Well, of course, I can't recall just when that act came into Congress when they established vocational agriculture in schools. Gosh, I can't remember it.
We had when I was in school, we had a teacher. She had gone to Oregon State Normal and graduated, and she was very interested in more or less vocational. She had a little sewing group and manual training. You know, she didn't know much about herself, but she tried to teach it to the rest of us. So, and during the war, the First World War, we had these victory gardens, you know, and one of the boys raised pigs, and we went all out for the war effort in the First World War.
That was before FFA, Future Farmers of America.
Yes.
That was way back before 4-H program, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, I'm very indebted to the McCullough family here this morning on this tape, by golly. We've heard a lot of history, folks. Now, that is for sure. And I didn't ask Felix back when this house was built and possibly who built it.
1926. Felix and our father built this house in 1926.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was a pretty good carpenter then.
Yes. They were both, he was self-trained. Felix was self-trained, but our dad had some apprenticeship, I think, as a carpenter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a beautiful home, and it's standing up,
It's
about almost 60 years old.
Yeah, by golly. Well, I want to thank you very much, you folks, for visiting with me on this tape. I may be tiring you out, and I don't want to do that. Yes, I have. And I don't want to tire you folks out. Felix wants to take me down and show me some antiques, possibly. So we'll just shut her off now and thank the McCullough family, grandfather McCullough came from the Green Isle of Ireland.
That's right.
And with that, we'll say adieu for this trip.